The scripture lesson is other, or it's different than the one printed in the bulletin. I'm going to be reading from the book of Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11, and you can find it on page 197 in your pew Bibles, 197. The passages that are listed for this week and next week, or for both readings, will be the passages for next week as well. We'll stay with that, with the parable for 2 weeks. Now listen to God's word from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Just so you know, that's a quote from someone else, from Gordon Gekko in the movie Wall Street, the character that is played as Gordon Gekko. Greed, in that context, was put forth as something of a virtue, not a vice. Greed is one of what we might call one of the foundation principles of humanity. It is exercised all over the world, and it has been a part of humanity ever since the first humans, greed. Dostoevsky has one of his characters in The Brothers Karamazov say this: the world says you have needs, satisfy them. You have as much right as the rich and the mighty. Don't hesitate to satisfy your needs. Indeed, expand your needs and demand more. This is the worldly doctrine of today. We see it. It's everywhere. We're influenced by it. We may even be a bit greedy ourselves in some ways. The parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 12 is a parable that has to do with greed. In fact, Jesus, after he's asked a question by someone to arbitrate a case between family members about inheritance and refuses to do it, Jesus says this: take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then it says he told them a parable, a story, something that could very much be true to life, something that they could identify with, and something that that they would know out of their own experience, or at least from their own observation. And the experience that he puts forth in this parable is that there is a farmer, there is a man of some means who whose land is abundantly productive. So he says, the land of a rich man produced abundantly. Now here, let's note then in the parable that this is not ill-gotten gain. He didn't steal the wealth from anybody. It's part of his own work, part of his own labor. It's part of the result of his good fortune and having rich farmland to farm. And so he has a rich harvest. And he thought to himself, what should I do? In fact, the harvest was so rich that he didn't have room in his barns to hold everything that he had. They were already filled. Well, so he decides what any good entrepreneur might decide. Well, let's bigger is better. So let's tear down the barns and build bigger barns so that the wealth can be hoarded, the wealth can be kept, the money can for that can benefit the farmer. Again, there's nothing wrong in that in and of itself. But yet God calls the man a fool, because the man thought that having done this, that he would be able to rest on that work and relax, eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of his life. And what in the parable, at any rate, designates the man as a fool is that that Jesus says he's not going to get any benefit from it, because what he hasn't counted on is that although all these things he may have thought were his own, his life is not his own. He does not have control over when he will live, when he will die. And so, you fool, this very night, your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And the application is, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. One of the things we might not pick up on right away when we look at this parable, and again, this is not someone who's doing anything illegal. He's just doing something that is extremely self-centered. There is no sense of any responsibility of sharing. The thought of sharing the wealth doesn't even entertain his thoughts at all. Usually Jesus in the parables kind of goes out of his way to make emphasis on particular points. And here we see the selfishness of the person emphasized by the language that Jesus uses. The word I is used some six times in this very, very brief passage. The man said to himself, what should I do? For I have no place for my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my grain, and I will say to my soul, you have ample goods. You see, he's thinking about himself, about what he has, what he hopes to have, and what he will do. Also, the word my is used often. I think it's some five times in the I's and the my's. What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. I will store my grain, my goods, and I will say to my soul, relax. Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. There's a number of points we could make an application about this. In some way, the parable is really rather straightforward. We have to be careful in the accumulation of wealth and our greed as a negative component possibility of that. that we realize, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, that really everything we have is on loan to us. We only have use of it for while we live. We cannot take it with us. It ultimately comes from God, and in a way, we will not have the benefit of even knowing who will share in our wealth when we are gone. Well, we know the government's going to get a share. I mean, that's beside the point. And we'll talk about that. That is a, not the government, but about this matter of it's really a matter of stewardship, that what we have is a gift from God. Now, really for today, in the context of today, of World Communion Sunday, and World Communion Sunday began in 1933, by the way, and it started out as an emphasis of a church in Pittsburgh, Shadyside Presbyterian Church, and Hugh Thompson Kerr was the pastor there. He began the emphasis, and then in 1940, the federal and what became the National Council of Churches picked it up and started the emphasis of it, and it grew and grew until here it is practiced all throughout the world, not in every church, but it is a worldwide practice. Well, Jesus exemplified the exact opposite of what this person in the parable exemplified. Jesus loved the world. The scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We know that, John 3:16, that verse. Well, what we also learn from Jesus and his life is what the Apostle Paul so vividly portrays for us in this second chapter of the book of Philippians, is that Jesus was about the exact opposite of getting. He was about giving. He didn't fill himself with possessions, but he emptied himself, so the Apostle Paul says, of everything that he had, his prerogatives as God's equal, of taking the form of a servant and by becoming human, and then even humbling himself to death. He gave everything. And it is that example that we celebrate, that we honor, and that we note today in what we're about to do in World Communion and World Communion Sunday. There is much to say about this parable, but in the time we have today, all I want us to focus on and think about is, are our lives about getting, or are they about giving? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.